Good evening and welcome to RCN Sports Talk presented by The Morning Call. I'm Chris Michael. So glad you could be with us. We have a very special show lined up with some great guests. So let's get right to the introductions. We have from the RCN Sports Department, the sports director, Mr. Gary Laubach, joined by Morning Call senior sports writer and co-host of the program, Mr. Keith Groller. Gentlemen, thank you for being here. It's nice to have the both of you together.
Wow, it's just an elite panel that I'm sitting here with. Let me tell you something.
I've been doing this show for nearly a year, and this is the best moment I've ever had to be with the king. The king.
It's the sixth time you've said that since you've been here.
The king of local media right here is Gary Laubach, the best broadcaster in the business.
Wow.
And I mean,
Good night, everybody.
Let me just say, Gary, I'm amazed you're still here. I'm not surprised he's still here. But I'm amazed that some big market hasn't snapped you up in all these years. I'm sure you've had opportunities.
Never wanted to travel.
I understand.
Never wanted to leave the family.
Yep. Well, can we talk sports here?
Let him go.
I'm absolutely thrilled to be in his presence.
Would you like to shine his shoes there? Yeah.
I might do it after between
compliment
breaks.
His shirt, which looks very nice. RCN got some very nice shirts for some of the RCN announcers, and Gary was one of the ones that got those. I didn't get one. A certain person brought mine in and then took it back and said, well, we don't have enough. You don't get one, and walked out. So me and Leon, we don't get one, but you have one, and John Breidinger gets one.
I got
one.
A half a dozen.
I'll take one.
I'm kidding. I'm just kidding.
Just don't give it to Keith. All right. I got to get to the question. All seriousness aside here, and I've been wanting to pose this question actually for a couple weeks, but I thought, let me wait, because in all seriousness, two best names in local sports here to answer this question. Keith, why are you frowning at that?
No, I'm putting this. Thank you for putting me in that.
I hate when they preface stuff like that.
We have been through the cycle, expanded formats, the six classifications. We've gone through a couple cycles with scheduling changes of the new EPC. And I don't think there's two better people in Lehigh Valley Sports to ask this question. What is your thoughts on the current state of the leagues and the district playoffs as it pertains to the state and also in the Lehigh Valley area? Because there's a lot of good points, and you know, there's some comments we hear from coaches or whoever saying there's things that are not so good. But Gary, we'll start with you.
My honest reaction is it's not even worth talking about. Nobody's going to change it. I mean, as much as I'm sure Keith hates it and I hate it, I'm not sure it's going to change. I mean, it's set up. It's there. I hate the way the EPC is set up. I mean, I just think it's silly the way the northern teams that cannot compete with the southern teams have a league of their own. And because they play each other, one of them, two of them, are going to have a terrific record. I don't like the fact that there are six classifications. I understand that people say, well, it gives kids more opportunity to play in big games. So what? I mean, you can't just keep watering everything down so everybody gets to do everything and participate and get a trophy and get a band. I don't like it, but it's not going to change.
Well, what could change could be the league. The districts are here to stay. Mm-hmm. The sixth classification, mm-hmm. matter of fact, if it's going to change, they're going to add more classifications,
I believe.
But the league has a chance to change because, look, we're 4 years. I mean, this is only the second year of the sixth classification PIAA, but this is now, what, the fourth year?
Third or fourth year.
I believe it's the fourth year that we're just getting started with the current configuration of the EPC, the 18-team EPC. And I've yet to meet one person, really. And even some of the people who put this thing together are now backing off. I've yet to meet one person who says, boy, I really like this league. I really like the fact that we included the six Monroe County schools. I really like going up there.
No one does. Not up there.
And I've dealt with those people or down here.
I mean, you know those people better than any of us because you cover some of them.
Yeah.
I will say, in basketball, it could be good if everybody played everybody once.
Yeah. Right.
It could be good. I don't know why.
Just about every coach saying that.
Yeah, that's the most common sense approach to basketball.
Right.
But they don't. So yeah. That's crazy, too.
Well, why is it? I mean, everyone seems to be saying that, and then you get certain people on record, and they say the complete opposite. So do you think that would actually change? Do you think they would get together and, you know,
I'm sure Gary hears rumblings. I hear rumblings. Boy, you know, Southern Lehigh is going to come into the EPC. Mm-hmm. We're going to try to ditch Beckman Central. We're going to do this and that. You know, now, that there's always rumblings. As a matter of fact, as we know, that
when I started here, there was rumblings about
that. Yeah, and then we both lived through multiple league changes, and I got maybe a minimum five more years to go. I'm probably going to see at least one more league change. There's always dissatisfaction. how things are configured, especially the private schools are always involved in that. And I, even though when they try to be good citizens, there's always somebody who's finding to want to banish them. So I think there's a chance of another. I think we need a change. I think we need to reconfigure this.
The colonial, could that happen this year? Because the cycle is up. If this is the fourth year of APC, this will be the end of that two-year cycle.
I don't know if we're going to get it done in time for next cycle. But I was talking to a prominent Colonial League football coach, and he says, this is going to be ridiculous. I mean, we're going against teams that are, you know, double and triple the size. We know that the northern tier of the Colonial League, Palmerton, Northern Lehigh, Northwestern, they have an opportunity, and maybe they should do it. Go north. Go up to the Schuylkill League where they can have great matchups with people like Lee Heighton.
That's why Jim Thorpe didn't join the
Tamaqua. Right. To me, a Palmerton Lee Heighton game is going to draw just as much, it's probably double of what a Palmerton Salisbury game would draw, for example. Yeah.
But with all the rumblings that you heard, have you heard any serious conversation about doing any of that?
Not yet.
No, I haven't either.
But it usually starts with rumblings, and it may take a while. I mean, I think there's a lot of fatigue, and I'm fatigued from a media standpoint of getting to learn these different things. Mm-hmm. And I think we've lived through enough here, but there's always going to be dissatisfaction as enrollments change and some schools get bigger, some get smaller. What do you do? And I know there's frustration on this point. What do we do with Allen and Dereff in the sport of football?
Right.
They, you know, obviously, the change, and I advocated for it, the change to have them play basically, first of all, in the Mountain Valley Conference and now in the APC North, has not really worked. And yeah, Allen got a win last week, Dereff got a win, but at best we're looking at 2-3 win situation at best.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And if you put them back in the, you put them back with the Parklands and the Emmauses and the Whitehalls, they're going to get mercy rolled every single week.
Right. And I also feel sorry for Central and when Becca was in the rotation. You know, what are they gaining playing those teams up north?
Yeah.
I mean,
I don't think they like doing that either.
Well, they can't possibly like making those trips.
They lose tremendous attendance.
Yes.
Because
nobody knows the rival. There's no rivalry.
You're going to gain wins by going up there, but you're going to lose in attendance. And what's it going to do to help you prepare for the postseason?
Right.
I think that's what hurt Becca with Freddie Simmons' junior year.
Right.
They steamrolled everybody, and then they got to the districts, and it was like, okay, now they're back to Lehigh Valley football. And
it was a senior year when they lost to Saucon Valley. Yeah.
And look at last year when they played good competition and played good competition in the state playoffs.
Yeah.
They were admirable. They played great football.
Yeah. Since you mentioned Central Becca, because someone asked me that the other day. Becca was north for 2 years, now Central for 2 years. Mm-hmm. What's going to happen next year?
Is it Becca's back due to Becca? Go back. It's Becca's turn. Now, there's a school named Northampton that would love to say, look, don't worry about sending them up there. We'd like to be the ones to go up there and get some wins.
And Mark's doing a nice job.
And he is.
He's in the South where you can't win. He'll win more than usual, but you can't win anymore.
But, Gary, they're 2-1, and do you know who their two wins are over?
Yeah, I know.
North teams.
Yeah.
So they'd love to go up there. I mean, once they get into that meat grinder, and that's what happens. You know, I always hear Colonial League people talk about, well, we could match up. We could match up with an EPC. Maybe for one night, but when you play that meat grinder, when you're playing an Easton, a Parkland, a Freedom, a Whitehall,
Emmaus,
week after week, That's where the smaller schools are going to get banged up. And I don't think, by and large, a Southern Lehigh or Saucon Valley, as good as they've been in the Colonial League, can go over there and compete.
No argument here.
So we need the two of you to get together, form a new league.
Well, he's got
all the problems.
Him in particular, but, you know, some of our other media colleagues, I think we could put together something that would be more appeasing or more pleasing than what we have right now. I really do.
All right. Let's talk some local high school football, too. Parkland was our number one team when we did the poll a few weeks ago. Actually, for the first time in quite a while, we had the five teams. We'll get to our polls in a few minutes, but we had Parkland number one, and then Emmaus, Whitehall, Freedom, and Easton and Emmaus, some combination there. And right now, here we are 3 weeks into the season, and those are still the top five teams. So I guess no big surprises so far?
Well, to me, the surprise is Emmaus having a couple of losses, but they've played good teams. And I think Whitehall's a bit of a surprise in that they knocked off Emmaus. They struggled last week against Nazareth, but won the game.
Mm-hmm.
And Emmaus, of course, losing the second you were there. I was there last week. I think it's a different ballgame. Lubens Myers plays. Do they win? I'm not
Big
sure
loss.
They win, but that's a huge loss for them. They're a good football team, and Emmaus will do well. So that's probably the biggest surprise in terms of somebody dropping down in your poll. But Parkland is Parkland. They're going to probably be at the top. They'll play an Eastern team this week that has not played them well in the last four times they've gone at each other. They've lost by 25 and a half points on average. So I think for the most part, your poll isn't going to change a heck of a lot.
And people keep saying, well, Parkland isn't as good as they were a couple years ago. But at the same time, it's, well, who's going to beat Parkland? And
well, a lot of people are like, the league isn't as good as it was a couple of years ago. There's a lot of parity this year. I'm not sure anybody is a great football team. Mm-hmm. But there's a lot of parity, so any week you should have some pretty good football.
Would you put Parkland above that, like in a separate class, or would you just say they're at the top end?
I think they can be beaten.
And I think I would be shocked if anybody comes out of this thing undefeated, as tough as the South Division is. I mean, you look at it, maybe they have two losses, but they could have won both of those games.
Yeah,
okay?
And they're an excellent team.
You know, and last year, I'm not really surprised that Emmaus lost, only in the sense that I covered a lot of their games last year, and they were living on the edge. Mm-hmm. They would make big comebacks, and they had a great kicker named Carson Landis,
right,
who did a great job, and he won a couple games for them. But I think we're going to see some great matchups from going forward here now. As we get into the latter stages of September, and certainly every week in October, we're going to see some great, great matchups.
Yes. In fact, when I go through to do the schedule and try to get it done ahead of time, mm-hmm. it's hard to do it. I mean, you have the same teams every week. They're just playing different one another, you know. Mm-hmm. So it's difficult to do because there are good games every week.
Are you surprised that Becca's undefeated at this point and how well they've been playing?
No, they have a lot of good skill people back. I'm not surprised. They've got a decent offensive line for sure. Mm-hmm. But I don't see them. I mean, they're going to get knocked off by somebody,
oh, yeah,
too.
You know, you might have the division winner with two losses. That wouldn't shock me. No, Becker really hasn't played, other than Emmaus.
Yeah.
And they dug themselves out of a 14-0 hole over there. Mm-hmm. You were there. Mm-hmm. Emmaus really hasn't played. I'm sorry, Becker hasn't really played a tough schedule. They're going to get into that tough part of the schedule soon. You know, the team that interests me is Central Catholic, only for the fact that they're done now. They're done.
They'll win the
rest.
Until they hit Becca.
Until they get Becca in week 10. Are they going to run the table like they did last year? I mean, they started off in the very same thing. They lost to Freedom and then came back and they won 9 straight, including they beat Becca the first time around. I'm really curious to see what they're going to do. Remember that 4A is very, very competitive. They can maybe afford one more loss. But certainly when you're looking at, you know, 3 losses, you're not going to get into 4A. And, you know, they obviously, a lot of teams now are thinking not only about the league, but they're obviously right now districts have become so important. The expanded district format is so important. And some people are like, well, we just want to be playing good football. We want to qualify and be playing good football going into the month of November.
And that 4A, people say, well, it's expanded formats. It's easy to make the playoffs. Now, 4A is the one exception because you have Becca, Central, Northampton, Saucon Valley, and then the teams out west, like Pottsville and Blue Mountain, that are usually in the conversation. And there's only 4 spots. So you're looking at probably 6 teams fighting for those 4 spots. 5A and 6A, you know, we've talked about the expanded formats and how easy it is to get in. Another team I wanted to ask you guys about, though, is Liberty. That's another team we're going to see this weekend. They've had 2 losses. They've played 2 tough teams, too. Do you think they can right the ship and be part of the upper echelon of the EPC South?
My honest answer is I don't know. I don't know. I haven't seen Liberty play this year yet. Haven't had the opportunity to do that. They came in highly touted, actually, as being a team that maybe could make a run for the championship. Their defense has been adequate. Their offense, not so much. They don't throw the ball real well right now. Right now, my gut says no, they won't be in the mix.
Made a lot of mistakes last week.
I absolutely agree. They've just been a mistake-prone team in recent years. They just sometimes the old, you know, the cliche about, you know, kicking yourself in the foot or bite. But you know what I'm trying to say. I can't get my cliches right. But they haven't gotten it done. They've been the team. Freedom's actually got more juice, and certainly Becca in that city than Liberty right now. And it's hard to believe because that was the program that produced Devin Street and Anthony Gonzalez and Jared West and all those great players. And certainly, you know, more recently, even Parkland won a state championship at the highest level.
We have Becca Liberty next Friday night. That's our game. It's a statewide game.
Well, if Liberty's going to make a statement, there's their opportunity.
Yeah, exactly. Took the words right out of my mouth. Yeah, that's a cliche.
You haven't shined his shoes yet, too. Make sure you get on that
during the break.
Easton's the other team I want to. We only have a minute left, so we may have to hold this over. But Easton, we talked about a couple weeks ago, new head coach. It's a new atmosphere. The fans that I talk to are pretty positive and taking a wait-and-see approach with everything. And we talked a couple weeks ago during some of our preview shows that they have a tough schedule. They have Liberty, Freedom, Whitehall, Becca,
Parkland this
and
week.
Parkland, all five of the first 6 weeks of their regular season. And if they would lose two or three games, would things turn? Well, we're not going to find out, at least not yet, because they've had an impressive win against both of those Bethlehem schools. So your thoughts on Easton and the new regime there? With
what I like about Easton right now is they seem to play well at times in all facets of the game. They throw the ball well. Mm-hmm. Quarterback was hurt last week, so Scott Paulson wasn't available. I've been told he'll be back, and he will start against Parkland. They've got some outstanding receivers. They've got a couple of really good running backs. But last week, they had to rely on their defense, and their defense played great. And they've got
special teams.
They've got a kicker. They've got a field goal and kickoff and an extra point kid that's just outstanding. I mean, he put up more points than the offense did last week. So they've got all the ingredients.
I'm really curious to see how that fares. I mean, we'll know a lot more about Easton by 26 hours from now. Mm-hmm. If they can hang with Parkland, beat Parkland, then I'll say, boy, they're legit.
I agree.
All right, we'll get to our big school and small schools poll and continue the high school sports conversations, and then a little later on the roundtable, a mix of local, regional, and national topics all coming up with our special guests, Gary Laubach, RCN Sports Director, joining Keith and myself. Time for the trivia question to roll that out there and give you a chance to win tonight's special prize. Tonight's question does deal with high school football. Of the 10 teams at Nazareth their regular season schedule this year, who do they have the most wins against? I thought this was a little interesting, a little surprising as well. So that's why we rolled it out as a trivia question tonight. So of the 10 teams that Nazareth normally plays in their regular season schedule, of course, all EPC, no non-conference games, who do they have the most wins against? The team they have the second most wins against is also a little surprising as well. But callers do get priority, and here's more information on how and what you can win.
You could win a $10 gift certificate to use to see the latest movies and the hottest music, sports, and pay-per-view events on RCN On Demand. You can only win one gift certificate every 4 months, but if you haven't won a prize in the last 30 days, you may be able to win another great prize. Call or email us right now with your trivia response. Callers get priority, but if we don't get a caller with the correct answer during tonight's live sports talk show, we'll take all email responses and conduct a random drawing on our next live show to determine the winner. Watching the show on replay or VOD? Send us your guess now, and you just might win an RCN On Demand $10 certificate. Good luck with sports talk trivia.
Welcome back to RCN Sports Talk, presented by The Morning Car. Special guest wearing the nice new RCN announcing shirts that neither Keith or I have, or John Leone for that matter. Gary Laubach joining Keith and myself. You didn't shine his shoes during the commercial break.
Well, I have sneakers on.
You're dropping the ball here. Come on.
There's nothing to show.
You haven't given him a compliment in 8 seconds here. Come on, get to the program.
I promise. We'll work out a deal.
All right. Colonial League. We talked all EPC in the first segment. I wanted to ask you a little bit about the Colonial League. Palisades is having a heck of a year. And it was interesting because a couple weeks ago we talked to Kevin Ronalds. And we said, oh, your numbers are pretty good and coming off of last year. And he said, you know what? We really needed a 7-win regular season and a chance to get in the district playoffs, because last year he had 28 kids. I mean, he's a 3A school. He only had 28 kids. He said, now because we won, we got some notoriety, we got in the playoffs, now we're up to like 42. But, you know, I think numbers is becoming an issue at a number of schools, and, you know, having to help a team like Caddy or Penn Argyle, especially now that both of those teams kind of going through some rebuilding processes, especially at Penn Argyle, you lose a couple guys. It's tough to field a team out there.
Well, numbers are definitely the most depressing issue in that league. I mean, it's a small. They're all small schools for the most part, except the Southern Lehigh or maybe Northwestern. And Bangor's certainly got numbers, but the other nine are really small schools. I think the story, not to change the subject here, but I think the story is this man's alma mater, the Wilson Warriors.
I knew you'd turn this into a suck-up, but go ahead.
The Wilson Warriors at 2-1, and I just did it.
You know, Gary deserves all the credit for this, right?
Well, possibly.
I did ride by their practice yesterday.
See, there you go.
And they are not low on numbers. They had a lot of kids out there running around.
Look, I just did the research because I haven't seen much Colonial League football, but I do the previews every week. Do you know that if they win on Saturday, I believe they play Northwestern, I think Northwestern's coming back, though, because I think they got some of those kids that they lost.
They're back this week?
Yeah, I think they're back this
they've
week.
They've been awful so far.
I think they're going to make them better. I don't know. They're certainly not going to make the playoffs. But anyway, Wilson wins this week. They'll have three wins this season. You know, the past four seasons combined, they have three wins. That's
amazing. Says something.
Chris Labatch is doing a wonderful job. The first time I met him, he was, like, talking to the kids about Wilson
his
Pride.
His enthusiasm is amazing.
Talk about the history of the school and talking about how far we go back and the
well,
state
he played through one of their glory years.
Well, yeah, I he mean, played in two state championship games.
Yeah.
So he's really bringing that. He's trying to bring that sense of tradition that has been lost at so many places. And certainly we can speak to that at Allen. If those kids don't know about, you know, some of the, even the stadium that they're playing in, they have no idea who J. Bernie Crum is or Milo Swords was or Dick Schmidt or whatever. But we've lost so much tradition around here, but I like the way Chris Labatch is trying to bring it back at
Wilson.
No
question about it. And how about Palisades' win last week? I mean, that probably is the biggest upset in the Colonial
Pomerton.
League. Pomerton.
Yeah.
Pomerton's win last week over Saucon Valley.
Yeah.
Probably the biggest upset we'll have all year in the Colonial League.
You know, one thing I'm as I'm making this tour again and getting reacquainted with most of these guys, and sometimes meeting them for the first time. I knew John Toman for a while. I've known Kevin Reynolds for a while. These guys are good coaches. Remember, these staffs. I remember the line that Ed Christian, the East Stroudsburg South, once said. He says, "I hate to play Park." I said, "Why, Ed? Because you usually lose?" He says, no, because I got a sore arm for shaking the hands of all their assistant coaches. These guys on the Colonial League
don't have that.
And I've worked the sidelines now, at least at Palisades in opening night. There's a lot of room there. There's not a lot of coaches. Mm-hmm. They really have to roll up their sleeves and get to work. And I'm seeing some great coaching efforts being done in that league.
With that said, is there anybody in our profession, including coaches, who don't really love what Kevin Reynolds has done?
Well,
he's
fantastic.
One of the great guys in coaching. Everybody liked him when he was at Allen. Everybody likes him at Palisades.
You can say that about Paul Reduzzi, too.
You're absolutely.
A lot of respect for him.
A lot of the Colonial League coaches love each other, which is highly, we didn't have that.
It doesn't happen in the NPC, that's for
it
sure.
It didn't. I don't know whether it's so much now, but it didn't before.
Yeah. Before the season started, we were looking at Palisades, Notre Dame, and Southern Lehigh as the three teams to beat. Now, Notre Dame has had a couple losses. Is that just because they've had really good competition to start? Or?
Yeah. I mean, they lost two games by 6 points.
Yeah.
Okay. I know they're very disappointed because they certainly had Southern Lehigh on the ropes.
Yeah.
They had a series of leads. When are you gonna get four turnovers in a big game like that and fail to win the football game? They had four turnovers in that game and couldn't capitalize. I don't know if Phil's a little frustrated right now, but look, they're going to get well. They'll
be in the district playoffs.
I would not be shocked if they win the next seven games and go into the District 11 playoffs at 8-2.
Cole DeFranco, by the way, went over 4,000
yards
throwing.
That's another year coming back, too. A lot of people were upset last year when Notre Dame was crowned, the crown jewel of the Colonial League. Has that kind of backfired? Because, I mean, a lot of people were upset with it last year, and now they had a target on there, but whether they were the team to beat coming into this year, a lot of people were really looking at that Notre Dame game trying to send a message. Your thoughts on Notre Dame versus the rest of the league, and can they, you know, be one of those top
teams? It's just natural in athletics. I mean, you're competitive. You know who the best team is supposed to be.
Well,
you're going to have that. You're going to put that target on their back and go and get them.
I just remember, like, Wilson when they had their great years, and then Caddy for a couple years. They were the lead team, and then Saucon Valley for, like, 2 or 3 years. It was kind of like, okay, they're the team to beat, and they're – but, you know, it seemed a lot more personal from last year.
Well, it's personal. Look, it's personal. And look, we're not going to sugarcoat this. You know why? It's because Notre Dame's a private school. And again –
but they're one of the smaller schools in the
I know league. That, but they're going to say, well, we don't know who Phil's bringing in. I mean, I love Phil and think he's a heck of an offensive coach. Yeah. I really believe that one day he's going to be a college coach, certainly a college coordinator. But when you have the ability to get kids from different areas, whether they come to you or whether you maybe, you know, go out and, you know, I don't know. I don't know how.
You almost
said
the word.
I don't really care. I don't really care how these rosters are constituted. But there's a lot of people who are resentful. Of course, we don't hear about it. When they're lousy, we don't hear about it. That's my problem. We don't hear about Becca when they're down. They're down in certain sports. You know, when they're good. And Becca, by the way, and I say this again, I think Becca has a chance to be maybe the last team standing in football. I think their boys' basketball team has a chance to get the Hershey.
Mm-hmm. And girls.
And the girls are not only going to get the Hershey, they're going to
win
again. So, I mean, you got to get used to it in a sense. But it's no mystery why Notre Dame gets a little bit more resentment than when okay, like Southern Lehigh's on a run or Penn Argyle's on a run. There's no mystery to that. And they have to live with it. They own it. They live with it. And Phil Stample puts a chip on he loves it. He said, nobody likes us, everybody hates us. When he was at Pius, they kept him out multiple times from getting into the Colonial League, and that's that chip on his shoulder that he carries over to his kids. It's almost a badge of honor.
All right, before we finish up, any other surprises or stories from the Colonial League that have caught your attention before we move on?
Well, Stalker Valley losing, I think, was a bit of a shock. I'm not quite sure whether they'll rebound. Southern Lehigh looks like they're probably the best in the league, but Palisades will certainly want to answer that. Mm-hmm. Other than that, I mean, I think Wilson really, hopefully, will continue to win.
It's a big one against Northwestern.
Yeah, if they can win 50% of their
good
games,
enough,
he's coach of the year.
They're not good enough to just say, oh, we got this.
No.
They got to come to play, and they were embarrassed by Palisades.
Yeah, by Palisades. Shut them
in their home opener. They got to come back to their field. What's the name of that field? Gary Laubach Field?
Well, I wish it was.
But
Smithfield.
Smithfield.
Yeah.
And they got to take care of business against a Northwestern team that's really hungry to get that first win. Remember last year it was the same week. Last year we had Penn Argyle 3-0. Palmerton was 0-3. And Palmerton put a whooping on the Green Knights. And anything can happen. Anything can really happen. And the 0-3 teams are very dangerous because they're just desperate for a win.
All right. We'll continue the high school sports conversation just a bit. Right now it is Keith's favorite part of the show. He'll probably donate all his time to Gary, but it's called Groler's Grumblings, where Keith sounds off and talks about anything and everything on his sports mind. Mr. Groler.
Well, it's funny you bring up Gary because I'm going to... Gary and I share one thing. We both cover Patriot League football. And look at 100, what do they have? 108,000 at Penn State for the Pitt game. Great. Eagles, the NFL stadiums pack them in. And I'm sure there's college stadiums across the country are going to have 100,000, 80,000 routinely. But look at, you're missing out when you don't get out to Fisher Stadium or Goodman Stadium on a given Saturday. These kids are great, great kids. You know they're the best of the best. These two local schools here are just exceptionally gifted in terms of academics. The best of the best only get into these schools. Who do the Leopards have this week?
Villanova.
They have Villanova.
At Villanova.
I mean, you know, at Villanova.
Mm-hmm.
Get yourself down to see that game or come on over and see Penn play Lehigh. I mean, both of these schools, the Leopards, the Mount Hawks, they play Ivy League institutions, and it's sad. It's sad to see these, whether we're at home or on the road, you go to the Yale Bowl, they'll only have a couple thousand.
Right, right.
You go to Franklin Field, three quarters empty. They deserve better than that. Both schools, and you know, I cover Lehigh, he covers Lafayette wonderfully. Look, get out there and support the Patriot League. I think you're missing out. You're seeing some great kids and some good football players.
All right, still have that trivia question out there. Of the 10 teams on Nazareth's regular season schedule this year, who do they have the most wins against? So first correct caller will win that prize. Don't forget you can also win via email as well. We'll be back with more of tonight's show in just a moment. Welcome back to RCN Sports Talk, presented by The Morning Call. Gary Laubach, RCN Sports Director, our special guest. Sucking up to him the entire show. You got some saliva there on your new, nice new suit there, Keith. You might have to clean that up before we continue. Let's go to the phone lines before we get to our poll. Tom from Nazareth wants to take a shot at our trivia question. Tom, welcome to Sports Talk.
You can't trick an old blue eagle. It has to be Parkland.
Incorrect.
That's Grandpa. That's Grandpa Weaver.
That's Annie's
grandpa. That's got to be correct.
No, this comes right from the Nazareth stat person, and they do a very good job up there.
I think I'm right. You better check it out.
Well, if you do, you can, at the game this weekend, make sure you tell them because that's the information that we got.
Well, it's who they have the most wins against. Why would that be?
Okay.
Yeah.
I usually don't argue with the Weavers, but that came from a pretty good source. So we still have that trivia question out there of the 10 teams Nazareth has on their schedule this year. Who do they have the most wins against? Let's take a look at our big school poll. We didn't get that. We did talk about it quite a bit, though, so we'll just kind of glaze over this. And for people that are listening to us on the podcast, we'll read it off. Parkland, unanimous number one team with seven first-place votes. which Gary and Keith both participate in. Whitehall still our number two team. Easton was number three, and then some minor variations with our voters. Some people had Emmaus 4 and Freedom 5, or as it turns out, Freedom had 12 votes, Emmaus ends with 7 votes, and then no one else got more than anyone vote anywhere else. Gary and Keith, your thoughts on the Big School 5?
Well, as I said at the top of the show, I don't think things are going to change very much. I think those five teams are going to be around till the end of the year. You may see Emmaus bumping ahead of Freedom, and you may not. Freedom, remember last year, knocked Emmaus off at the end of the season. I think that's, Keith, that's just about the way it is right now.
My number, that number four team is my yeah, but. I tried to explain this before. Freedom's always got the high expectations. Mm-hmm. And that could extend it to boys basketball, too. The high expectations, they do well at certain points. They have great regular seasons. Yeah, but are they going to be
They've
there in
won the
end?
Last couple years, though. Isn't it time
I
for
want
you to just say?
I want championships. I'm not seeing them
That
over
sounded
there.
More like a grumbling than his grumbling.
I want to see. Look, and I love Jason Roeder. He's a great coach. I worked the sideline for the Central Catholic Freedom game. I was down there. I think the game you worked.
I did, yeah.
You were in
the
plush press box?
Yes, very nice. We had lounge chairs, concierge service. It was beautiful.
Anyway, I was working the sideline, and but you know what? You can really see how these guys interact with kids, and I really like the way Roeder interacts with his kids. But
so give them some do. Put them
Freedom's
in the upper
got, but I want to see more from them. I want to see more from them. I know they got to the final last year, but look, they beat Central Catholic. They beat Allen. They lost a game that they seemed like they were could have won, should have won.
So they have to win a district title for you to give them.
Well, I give them a lot of credit for being a good, solid program, but okay. Are they in the same breath as the Parkland? No.
Well, Emmaus hasn't either, and you just said, well.
Don't get me started on Emmaus. You know what I said about them, and look at what happened since I went on that rant at the fairgrounds.
What rant was that?
Oh, yeah, you'd love to bring that one up.
Let's take a look at our small school poll and move quickly on again. Not much variation here among our seven voters. Becca, the unanimous number one choice. Palisades, number two with 20 of the possible 28 votes. Central Catholic, our number three team with 12 votes. And then Palmerton, fresh off that big win over Saucon Valley, moves into the number four spot with 6 votes. As with the bigger schools, no other school got more than one vote. Keith, Mr. Colonial League this year, any disagreements with our small school four?
Yeah, absolutely. Why? You know, I still think Notre Dame belongs up there. I really believe Notre Dame's better than Palmerton. I know that they're 1-2. They lost
6 other people disagree.
Two games by a total of 6 points to Southern Lehigh and Palisades are the two best teams. I'm happy. Chris Wachowiak, a good man. Another trip I made. Mm-hmm. You talk about the traveling man. I was down at Palisades one night. I was up at Palmerton another night. I'm all over the place. I'm all over that Colonial League. But anyway, Notre Dame's a better football team than Palmerton. They deserve that four spot.
Keith comes in here as such a calm guy, and all you do is rile him up.
He comes in here very calm at 6:58, yes. Anyway, thank you for being early since Gary was here tonight, coming at 6:57 and a half today.
Do your voters, really think that the Palisades would beat Central Catholic?
Apparently.
Okay.
All right, now we have an Emmaus guy trying to. What are you writing here? He has a little scrap of paper because our teleprompter's down. Something about what, poke? Eric, tell me what he's saying. They don't know what I'm really saying. Okay. Really? Okay. They're just holding up papers randomly. Where were we?
Colonial League poll.
The small school poll.
I'm trying to figure out why is he holding up these scraps of paper. Here, just why don't you bring it over to me? Now he's leaving the studio. Go ahead. Notre Dame versus Palmerton. I saw Palmerton a couple years ago. No, it was last year against Caddy. They had two outstanding running backs. And you know, when you talked about trying to build up the program, I think that the Palmerton coaching staff there is trying to instill that same winning formula up there, too. So I don't know if you feel the same way about Wilson, but do you think that Palmerton can kind of build something and be one of those top better teams in the Colonial League this year?
I think it's iffy whether it can be a consistent program, only because of numbers. And they've done a good job. I mean, they're certainly competitive, but can that last for a long time? I don't know. I don't know about that.
I want to just add this. You know, Tacoa Geddes. That's how you pronounce that name?
Geddes. Yeah.
Okay. Manny Geddes was the longtime coach at Palmerton, and he also coached at Northern Lehigh. He transfers from Northern Lehigh to Palmerton. Can you imagine if Phil would have brought him from Northern Lehigh down to Notre Dame, what a kind of an uproar there would have been. But because he goes from Northern Lehigh to Palmer, we don't hear a peep. He's playing good football, by the way. He's a really good kid and a good athlete. I don't know why it didn't work out at Northern Lehigh. He seems to be flourishing in the system with the Blue Bombers. I think the Blue Bombers passed the football more than the Bulldogs did, and I think that's one of the primary reasons he made that move.
Yeah, I believe you're absolutely
right. And I'm not saying it was.
I
don't know all the particulars there. I'm not going to make any accusations, but, you know, look it. Was athletic intent involved in that move? Probably. And he's doing a great job. I'm just saying, if he had come down to Notre Dame.
But no uproar at a public school.
Yeah, Notre Dame doesn't need a quarterback. They had a great one in Cole DeFranco. Yeah. But can you imagine if he. Oh, my goodness, that's all we'd hear about.
You're going to be at a Colonial League game this weekend. Where are you going to be at?
I'm going to be at the Battle of the Undefeateds. Palisades hosting Southern Lehigh. I'm looking forward
great
to
game.
It. Good physical matchup.
All right, it's time for the roundtable part of the show. The roundtable is where we have a variety of local, regional, national topics that we put before our panelists and look for an entertaining exchange of thoughts and opinions. All right, topic number one. Obviously, ESPN in the news the last couple days because one of their on-air talents made a comment. That has drawn some apology and some uproar from some people. The thing that I'm always surprised at is ESPN goes out and hires these extreme voices to give their opinions and do a talk show in which you're supposed to get an audience, gather people together, get people fired up, and make sometimes extreme statements. And anytime anyone ever does, they're like, oh my goodness, they made an extreme statement. We got to apologize. You got to do this. So there's uproar now over a statement made by Miss...
Jamel Hill.
I've never heard of her before. But we've seen this happen before. Sometimes people get fired, sometimes they don't get fired. Do you think ESPN should hold their people accountable, and when they make opinionated statements, that they should fire them or look to impose some punitive judgment against them?
It's a really difficult question, in all honesty. It's a Colin Kaepernick kind of question. But in this case, as I tend to tell our announcers, and I'm sure you get it too, when we're out there, because the public knows who we are, we represent the company. Mm-hmm. So when we say things, it does, in effect, reflect on the company. But if you believe something is morally wrong, you probably are morally obligated to talk about it. And in this country, what happened to free speech? Where you can say what you want, you may pay the consequences for what you said, and you should know that going in. Nobody's facing it more than Colin Kaepernick right now. Can't get a job. If you know that there's a responsibility in what you say, you still should be able to say it if you want to say it.
Mm-hmm. Keith, where do you fall?
Well, in the morning call, they don't want us to make any political commentary, and that's even that goes for Facebook. I mean, they just have a policy that they don't want because of being a media outlet that tries to be strives
fair.
To be fair and balanced. Mm-hmm. Here's my deal. When you make political comments, I've tried to caution some of our younger writers. Say, look, don't make comments. I may agree with you, but don't, because you're only going to alienate at least about 50%. 50% might love what you say politically, but the other 50% are going to hate you, and that's all they're going to remember for. You could be an outstanding writer, but they're going to remember that you said this about you know, Nancy Pelosi or this about Trump or whatever. They're going
to
define
Even
you by
you
your political
to,
stance.
You represent the company.
Right.
You represent the
right.
company.
All right, topic number two before we get to the break. Eagles Chiefs, big game this weekend, the return of Andy Reid against his mentor, Doug Peterson, how do you think this game shakes out after the Eagles pulled a big Week 1 victory?
Didn't the Chiefs beat New England?
Yes.
They'll beat the Eagles. And they've had extra days to prepare.
Your cameraman, who's writing furiously on little scraps of paper here, disagrees with you.
Well, you remember, it's just basically a bye week, sort of, because they have a couple extra days to prepare. And that you might have not loved everything about Andy Reid when he was with the Eagles, but you did love his record coming off a bye. So I'm going to go with the Chiefs. But I think the Eagles will represent well there. I think it's going to be a really, really good game.
And isn't he 7-2 against his former assistant coaches?
So you both Chiefs?
Yes.
All right. Don't go by Zion on your way out of the studio here tonight. All right. It's time for another break. I'm told that our Parkland package did not come out, so we can't present it to you on tonight's show. We'll try to. It is available, though, on the website. And we'll get back with more of RCN Sports Talk presented by The Morning Call right after this time. Welcome back to RCN Sports Talk. Again, quick reminder, we have that trivia question out there. You can give it a shot via email or give us a call in the remaining minutes of our program. One more time, the 10 teams on Nazareth's regular season schedule. Who do they have the most wins against? You can email us, rcnsportstalk@rcn.com, rcnsportstalk@rcn.com. All right, let's go to the phone lines, and we're happy to bring in Andy Stefanelli to join Keith, Gary Laubach and myself. Keith is out to shine Gary's car right now. So Gary and I will talk to Coach Stefanelli from Good Counsel, the head football coach there. Coach Stefanelli, thanks so much for joining us on Sports Talk this evening.
Hi, Chris. Thanks for having me.
Oh, it's our pleasure to have you. And first of all, before I ask you about your team success this year, I wanted to ask you a little bit about the program success and some of your recent graduates. You had a couple people that are, several people that are playing at Division I schools, and I was reading an article of two players, Nasir Watkins and Joshua Patchell, who are at Kentucky, and there was an article written a couple weeks ago in which the coaching staff there was praising their work ethic, how hard they've been working on the field, in the weight room, and they're really good people off the field as well. And I'm sure you get comments like that quite a bit. How does it feel to have people go on and do this type of things and have success at the Division I level after they go to Good Counsel?
Well, we're extremely proud of those two guys, and we have a number of players playing at the Division I level and Division II and III as well, but a lot of guys are playing at a high level, and they're very, very proud of them, not only of what they've been able to achieve on the field, but the way they represent themselves and us as their as a high school off the field as well.
Could you talk about some of your recent graduates and some of the people that have gone on and had success at the college level and then at the professional level?
Yeah, sure. Right now in the NFL, we have the guy who's getting the most press this week is Stephon Diggs of the Vikings. He played for us, of course, and then went on to the University of Maryland. We also have Jelani Jenkins, who I think is now just signed with the Buffalo Bills. Blake Countess is playing for the Rams. After a career at Michigan and Auburn. So then Lewis Young has been in the NFL for quite a while after a career at Georgia Tech. We're proud of those. And, at the Division I level, it's a really long list of guys that are, play for us and are now either playing now or recently graduated.
Could you talk about your season so far? I know you had a tough loss last week to Mount St. Joseph's, but you started off the year with an impressive win over Gilman, 23-10. And you have some very strong teams, as usual, coming up this year. So talk a little bit about the season so far and some of the first two games of the season that you played.
Well, obviously, the first week, we were happy with the way we kind of came out of the gate. We did have some mistakes in that game, although, we were able to beat a very good Gilman team. We were, as coaches, we were concerned about some of the mistakes we made. And, then we followed up with Mount St. Joe's, who was also a very, very good team. I think flying a little bit under the radar because they have some younger kids, but we knew as coaches that, they were going to be a handful. And, they came in and played really, really well. I thought they were well coached and kids played really hard, and I think they kind of caught us. We made some of those same mistakes, and this week we paid with a loss. So hopefully we can use that to build off of and continue to improve. We, as you alluded to, we have a very difficult schedule. I think some of the publications had us ranked top 20 most difficult schedule in the nation. So we know that week after week it just gets harder and harder for us as we move forward.
I was going to ask you, how do you meet those expectations and what do you say to your kids when you look at the schedule and you look at some of the teams that you have to face? They're nationally ranked. I know the Washington Post had you as one of the preseason top 15 teams. And, when you look at the expectations and you look at the competition, how do you get the kids motivated and, how do you gear up and deal with those issues when you're playing some of the best teams in the country?
Honestly, it's difficult, because you want to, as a coach, you want to push the right buttons and make sure – you're keeping them level-headed, not reading their own press clippings when they come out. Mm-hmm. On the other end of it, kind of getting them prepared for teams that are, maybe even more talented than we are. And so we just really try to focus on what we're doing and their assignments and keeping them focused on the task at hand. With high school kids, it's easy for them to lose focus. So we just try to hone in on the task at hand, you know, not to sound like a typical coach's cliche, but, you know, week to week. So just the next game, and you just want to kind of concentrate on that. And we know, when we know our conference, we know how difficult that will be. So these you know, out-of-conference games we have early in the season, they're exciting because it's, you know, opponents that aren't in conference. And these kids know. You know, they're on Twitter. They read. They see what the rankings. So we don't have a problem getting them motivated for these big, big, big-time opponents.
Yeah. I know Taylor Bailey, a senior linebacker for you, was one of the players on the All-Met preseason team. Could you talk a little bit about him and the schools he's looking at and maybe some of the other top players and where they're looking to play at the next level?
Yes, Tyler actually recently committed to Maryland. He had a number of offers, and he's an interesting story. You know, he was a basketball player, mm-hmm. Came to Good Counsel as a basketball player, and didn't start playing football till last season. So he's got a all the measurables at 6'5" and 220, and but he's very, very raw as a player. It's he has a large learning curve. So last year they kind of moved him around trying to figure out where he fit in best. This year we really honed in at playing with defensive end, which is where he's projected to play, you know, at the collegiate level. And he's doing well. He's really kind of coming around. You know, every week you see an improvement with him. His upside is through the roof. You know, we're just hoping we can, you know, capitalize on his talents, you know, while he's still here in high school. And he is. He's really contributing. He's got a great work ethic. He's like a sponge out there just wanting to learn and get better.
Yeah. Could you talk about some of your other top players? And I know, you know, at that program, you never rebuild, but you retool, and you have to have younger players ready to go for the following year. And hopefully, if you don't have injury, you don't have to put them in early. But how do you kind of judge that, and how do you, you know, you have that tough competition, but at the same time, you're trying to work in younger players, and you get them ready to get up to the speed of the varsity level?
Yeah, that's, you know, being first-year varsity coach, I've been in the program for 10 years, and I've been the recruiting coordinator for 8 of those years. So, you know, finding the recruits and bringing the talent in and watching them develop is one of the enjoyable parts of the job, even before I became the head varsity coach. And now, yeah, dealing with integrating those younger players in, you know, frankly, what happens, and it started happening to us, unfortunately, early in camp, is sometimes injuries force those younger guys kind of move up in the depth chart, even if it's only for a couple of weeks or even for a week in camp. And it really tests them, you know, getting that competition against the varsity, you know, seasoned players. So we have a lot of sophomores and juniors playing. You know, we have a strong senior class. You know, when you ask about the top players, you know, Tremaine Stott is a senior. He's our safety, running back, kickoff punt returner. Last week he was our punter in a pinch. So he's just a great football player, has a number of offers. Micah McNeil is a senior cornerback, very, very good player also with offers. And, you know, Jonathan Donnelly, Josh Kelly, we've got a number of kids that are really good in our senior class. But up front, we're young. We have some juniors. We have a couple of seniors that are starters, but they're new starters. So those are the challenges, kind of working in the veteran guys that don't have much experience and also getting those sophomores and juniors kind of ready to go, whether it's backup roles or in some cases they're getting pushed in the starting roles because of injury.
Yeah. Coach, before we let you go, I know you have a big ball game tomorrow that you're preparing for against Spalding. I know a couple of years ago Spalding had some really good running backs. Could you give us a little scouting report? Are they still very solid in terms of their running attack? And what are some of the keys that your team needs to do to get a victory on Friday night?
They do. They have a very, very good running back. He's, you know, a very good back. He's got good size. And they run a great, all their, you know, Kyle Schmidt over there does a great job. And they run a, you know, kind of a no-huddle attack that's very efficient, very, very good. And they run their quarterback a lot. And they have a very athletic, very good quarterback. They graduated a kid who's now at Navy, and they, you know, kind of brought another guy in who's a lot like him. And so they're very good. They're strong. He's got a lot of returners. You know, they're you know, a top 10 team in the Washington Post, and mm-hmm. I think also nationally ranked. So it's a huge challenge. You know, we'll hopefully, you know, again, like I mentioned earlier, we'll try to concentrate on what we need to do in terms of cleaning up some of the mistakes we made last week. Hopefully, we can go in there and really play well tomorrow night.
Well, Coach, thanks so much for your time. Best of luck, and congratulations on another great program and another tough schedule of games coming up. But thanks so much for your time this evening.
Sure. Thanks for having me.
All right. Andy Stefanelli, head coach at Good Counsel, an outstanding football program down there in the DMV, joining us. Final couple minutes of the program, and one question I definitely want to ask you about. In honor of Rhys Hoskins setting a record for fastest player to get 17 home runs and the Cleveland Indians with a remarkable run, 20-game winning streak, I wanted to ask you, because you've seen quite a few football games and sports in general, local, college, and national. What is the most amazing accomplishment as a team and or as an individual that you've seen?
Difficult question, because there's do you look at the UConn women's basketball team? What, they went 111, I think, in a row.
I lost count after
But they finally got beat this past year. UCLA men won 88 games under John Wooden. To me, though, the most impressive streak ever, the 72 Dolphins, going undefeated in the NFL regular season right through to the Super Bowl in the NFL, where there's so much parity, so much talent, to win every single football game in the NFL. Yeah. That's the best streak ever.
And if I can get an answer locally, I thought it, Easton, when they won 3 games in 8 days a few years ago, we talked about last week with Steve Shifford.
Yeah, great.
But
answer.
I had so many coaches say, you know what, whether I like them or not, that was an amazing accomplishment to pull that off, three wins in 8 days.
I absolutely agree. That's an amazing, at our local level, that's a great choice.
All right, and we have 30 seconds left. Do you want to do a Stone Cold Lock, since Keith has bailed on us?
Well, it was going to be the Cleveland Indians will never lose another game, but I don't think that's probably valid at the point. The Cubs are going to win the World Series again after that 103-year drought. They'll win back-to-back championships.
We had someone a few years ago say that the Cubs were going to win the World Series, and then when they did last year, they called up and said, I want credit for that.
Yeah, there you go. It's now out there.
All right. Gary, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you very much.
We'll be back with another live edition of Sports Talk. Keith might be joining us. He's out on assignment getting a lot of stories ready for tomorrow's morning call, so check that out as well. For Keith, I'm Chris. Good night, everyone.